This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here in the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Brad Evans going to join the program a little bit later on in this hour, get his expertise as we get so close to the start of week number one in the NFL here in about three short weeks. But Jensen, we love to do this in the betting market and certainly keeping our eye on certain athletes or teams that could provide a little bit of chaos in the betting world. And that's where we begin today's edition of our Chaos Candidates. All right, Jensen, I've won the toss. I've elected to receive today. Now, I'm going to have a theme of mine today when you see my chaos candidates. And, you know, there's a movie like No Country for Old Men. Come on. Not in the sporting world. I never retire great athletes, Jensen, because I want them to play as long as they believe they can play. And, of course, when the Cowboys signed Von Miller yesterday, you heard the usuals, right? Oh, old man Vaughn, what's he really going to provide for you guys down in Dallas? Ooh, I think he's going to be able to provide a lot, not only to the young guys, and I can't believe it. The Cowboys actually have young guys up front from Mesoraku last year and the drafts this year with Malachi. They've got some younger guys that Von Miller might be able to give tutelage to. Okay, well, that's wonderful from a coaching perspective. But what about on the field? I think people have already forgotten that last year on one of the worst defenses in the league in D.C., Von Miller had 9 sacks. If you just told me now on a much better defense where you could have tried to stop Von Miller and you couldn't and he still got 9 last year, you can't double everybody here with this Cowboys front. And this conversation even goes back to hour number one that we were having with Matt Eumanns. Jensen, this defense on paper has the chance to be so much better, light years ahead of where they were just a year ago. Von Miller will be one of those guys. If you're a Cowboys player out there, don't look for him every down. That's not what you're going to get out of this version of Von. But you're going to get high leverage spots where they bring him in to do one thing, and that's sack or disrupt the quarterback. That's it. Don't worry about run game. None of that. Pin your ears back and go do what's going to get you in Canton, Ohio, because he's going to Canton one day. It's a Super Bowl MVP. This is a guy that's been doing it for a number of years with a number of teams. And everywhere he goes, when you listen when he leaves, they talk about what an influence Von Miller was in that locker room. I think it's not a good signing. I think that's a great signing by Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. They say they might not be done. That's a little tease for later on in the program. But Jensen, I'll say this. Von Miller, a chance to be a chaos candidate in Dallas and, dare I say, the NFC writ large.
All right. We know that the substation in San Francisco has created all kinds of chaos for the 49ers not only last year, but this year. Perhaps someone who could be immune from that. We keep our fingers crossed. A guy that I gave out a couple of weeks ago in the offensive rookie of the year market, upwards of 30-1. Well, today's price, not yesterday's price, Dave, as you like to say. Dejon Stribling is going to be a force to be reckoned with, and it may just be because he's the only healthy guy in that receiving room for the 49ers. Now, they did bring in Mike Evans and Christian Kirk and Deebo Samuel. We know that Evans has already been dealing with some issues. You can't have Christian McCaffrey just shoulder the entire workload, both running the football and receiving out of the backfield right out of the get. George Kittle coming back from the Achilles injury. You know, again, it takes time. And I think Steve Mariucci, great friend of the program, had maybe alluded to it a few days ago, that not only an encouraging update, but still, you know, might be a bit away from being that significant contributor and even, you know, not ready for their week one tilt in Australia against the LA Rams. Make no mistake about it. We're not overreacting to week one in the preseason, what Stribling did. It was great. At the same time, this is also a play on availability and productivity. And we think that Dejon Stribling could be that chaos candidate, not only at the beginning for the 49ers, but also in the offensive rookie of the year landscape.
Yeah, and really, as you mentioned, it's an opportunity here that young man's going to have. We've seen this happen with young receivers quickly in the league. It can happen very quickly. I'm picking up what you're putting down out there in the Bay. I'm going to stick with my old man theme as you went young boy and young men out there in the National Football League. I'm going to an old boy out there in Major League Baseball. Mad Max Scherzer. Now, Scherzer can still spin it. They can't give you what young Max could do. Okay, I get that. So kind of old guy, new tricks. Can he get you five? He's been pretty good the last couple times out. And the reason why he might be able to provide chaos here for the Blue Jays, again, kind of like Stribling in San Francisco, out of necessity, is that when you lose the young guy in a Trey Savage, you got to lean on Max Scherzer. If the Blue Jays are going to capitalize on this run that they're on, half game out of it right now in the wild card, Jensen, Max Scherzer is going to have to be a guy that you can depend on. And I don't think Max would have it any other way. I think certain people might shy away from that spotlight, not knowing that they're not the same guy, not Max. You know, you talk about guys that believe they can still go out there and prove to you why they're going to be a Hall of Famer someday, like Scherzer, someday like Von Miller. That's why I like those guys. That's why I like those old dogs on my team. Because those guys still believe that they can give the team exactly what they need. He's not going to shy away from the ball every fifth day down the stretch for the Blue Jays. Now, whether he can get it done or not, we'll find out. But he's got the opportunity, Jensen. And that's what we're talking about, a theme here. Opportunities for these guys to be real impact players down the stretch. Certainly Mad Max, a chaos candidate north of the border for the Blue Jays.
All right, the block O is what we look for in Ohio State Buckeye terminology in college football, Dave. But the O's are the operative letters here in watching what's happened in Major League Baseball's postseason race. Baltimore, all of a sudden, alive and well, occupying the final wildcard spot as we begin play today. A very convincing series win against the top team in the American League in Tampa Bay in a wraparound series. Had a chance to sweep the four-game set yesterday, but fall by a single run. What they've done, though, in the month of August, Dave, is what we really want to sink our teeth into. The pitching has been better. The offense has been just about league average. But if you go all the way back to the All-Star break, and some of the numbers from a pitching standpoint are far better, and I think that's what's allowed this team, even though offensively, they're right middle of the pack since the second half started. 122 runs scored in 28 games. It's been the pitching overall that has really allowed them to take the big leap forward. They are seventh right now in pitching wins above replacement since the All-Star break. And if you look at just their ERA period, it's probably not going to tell you the entire story. But that, I think, is one of the sole reasons why they are alive and well. Their ERA is 4.03. Their expected ERA is actually better, and that would lend me into some positive regression that they can continue this march forward. I mentioned I would buy stock in the Tigers right now to make the postseason on the American League side, and that still holds true. But if there were going to be a chaos candidate, it would be the team that I picked to win the American League East at the beginning of the year. They're not going to do it this year, Dave, but they might find their way in. And if they do, that's a team that all of a sudden you're looking at from an offensive standpoint with the way Pete Alonso has basically played like an MVP here since the second half started. You look at Gunnar Henderson, who the last week has really come on strongly. And I think they've got the makings of a top end of the rotation now with Bradish, with Rogers, Chris Bassitt, you know, finding his way back and then knowing what the back end of their bullpen can do. Yeah, it was a trip up yesterday with Yennier Cano. Josh Walker had a tough outing. But really, overall, this is a team that has started to put it together in the second half, and maybe they are the team that has that quick sprint to the finish these final 6 weeks of the regular season.
You know, we had that conversation with Matt Youmans. Please, again, like, subscribe, VSiN by the Books pod. Listen to that conversation in your time. We were talking about the Cowboys, and he asked me if I'm getting nervy about the Cowboys being a chic pick. And I mentioned Von Miller as chaos candidate here. We might have another chaos candidate that we don't even know who it is yet, Jensen. Here's Brian Schottenheimer on what the Cowboys still might do before we get to week one.
I love our roster. I mean, I really do. I think, you know, we're a talented roster. We're way different on paper this year than we were last year. But we're not done. We're not done developing our players. We're not done getting the young guys ready to go. We're not done potentially adding pieces. But I love our roster. I love the makeup of the young men in that room, the way they love one another, the way they care about one another.
We might not be done adding players. And I heard Jarrah say yesterday, echoing those sentiments. So clearly they have been communicating well. At least they're on the same page, Jensen. You know what people are saying out there in the desert, that means Max Crosby. But I'll say this. If you do like the Cowboys now, you better hop on them. We talked about this yesterday. Because if they add a player like a Max Crosby, Jensen, the numbers are going to start getting out of whack in the futures market on the Cowboys.
Well, let's see what we've had expectations for this team before, and they have fallen right on their face. So I will not pass judgment until we see it. The beginning of this schedule, we're going to know a lot if this team is viable. You get the two divisional games against the Giants and the Commanders. You got to go to Rio to take on the Ravens, and then a tricky road test, a little Texas two-step here going and taking on the Texans. So they're going to have to show offensively. Do we think they're great? Absolutely. They should be one of the best offensive teams. I think you had said it too. If they can just be league average defensively, then you might have a special season in Big D on the horizon.
And you know what's so funny about that statement from Schottenheimer and echoed by Jerry Jones? When you and I hear it, at least what I don't even think offensive side of the ball. All I hear when I hear that is impact defensive rusher. That's what I hear in my mind, and I think that's what Cowboy Nation thinks as well. Is Max Crosby really coming to Dallas? We'll find out. Let's talk some baseball. The Daily Diamond is up next. You got some pitching matchups that you've got your eye on. That's all straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football season is upon us and the sharp money is already moving. Here's how the sharp plays see it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major sportsbooks. Thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it is filtered and sorted by version 6 of their AI model. That's the machine, now the receipts. Every play is logged. Every result is public. Records going back to 2011, live logs since 2021, all feeds, a live performance terminal. Check it out anytime. No login, no paywall. Nobody else in the industry runs one like them because most of those records could not survive it. That's why sharp plays are watched, respected, and feared. Check them out at sharpplays.com. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Going to have Brad Evans join us in the next segment. He's a noisy huevos is his handle, and he is a fun man to have in the program, so can't wait to catch up with Brad next. But let's talk some Major League Baseball here, some of the matchups that you see today, and there's some sexy ones out there as we kick off today's edition of the Daily Diamond. All right, Jensen, some of those series, especially, let's say, in Charm City, with the boogie down going there against the Orioles, and a guy coming off the injured list here, what do you see with Rodon's first start back for the Pinstripers?
Yeah, welcome back, Carlos Rodon. And again, great to see, because you had Max Fried go on the IL, and get one off, you get one back on. So tough way to go if you're the Yankees right now. Still been offensively challenged, and we just made the case for Baltimore as a chaos candidate. So look to see what Shane Boz can do. Again, Baltimore, a short home dog here, plus $1.03. Total's what we're targeting right now. Under nine, if you can still get a couple of nines out there, minus $1.29. Shane Boz, not the greatest career ERA, though, against the Yankees. It's north of seven in seven appearances, but it's a far different lineup that he's facing here tonight. So like Rodon, who has usually had success against the Orioles in his tenure, playing under nine, minus $1.29 in a big series opener here between the Yankees and the O's.
Mentioned a couple weeks ago when I played that Blue Jays ticket at 13-1 to make the postseason that they had to navigate a really, really tough stretch of the schedule. They're starting to get towards the back end of that navigation, but it's not easy as you go down to Tampa and maybe an angry Rays team after what just happened, them losing 3 out of 4 at home. Jensen, that is very abnormal for Tampa. What do you see with the Blue Jays coming to town today?
Well, more so because it's all the implications for both these clubs. And of course, Tampa licking their wounds a little bit after Baltimore came in and took it to them 3 out of 4. Toronto now brings in Jose Soriano, who will get the start, a short road dog here. The Blue Jays are plus $1.20. Nick Martinez, who has been outstanding for the Tampa Bay Rays, short home favorite here, minus $1.29. Total of 7.5. Dave, if I'm looking here on some of the numbers, I would say the lean would be towards Tampa just in the matchup, but I could also look on the other side and make the case. This is great value knowing you have Soriano on the other side for the Blue Jays. No real feel on the total. It really hasn't budged much here, Dave, but again, we'll have a watchful eye. Huge series in the American League East between Yankees, O's, and Blue Jays, Rays getting underway tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a very important couple days there in Charm City and certainly down there at the Trop in Tampa as well. We talk a lot about the Mariners kind of waiting for them to wake up a little bit here. Tough team to wake up against when you have a road trip that's going to start in Milwaukee today. What do you make of this matchup?
I do like the under here because Bryce Miller, Kyle Harrison, great, great pitching matchup. And again, Brewers got a little bit of a scare when Kyle Harrison had to exit that first start. We came off the IL. Fortunately, it was just cramps and he was okay after that. But he has been arguably the best arm outside of Jacob Mizorowski in that Brewer rotation. Don't need to say it more than it's already been said. Mariners offense, struggle bus. So let's go where we can find some maybe quick innings for Kyle Harrison and this top-ranked Brewer bullpen. Goes right along, though, with the Mariners and Bryce Miller. So I would expect runs at a premium tonight, Dave. We're going to play an under 8 in this game at minus $1.13. Go ahead, shop around where you might find it. That's a unit and a half play for me. I think circa is $1.25. I found $1.13 on Novik. So shop around, best price there. Those are a couple of in-pocket plays in some of the featured series beginning tonight.
One game I'm keeping an eye on, and I keep watching this team every night, and I'm just getting more and more impressed. It's the Metropolitans against the Padres tonight. Zach Thornton's going to be on the bump against Robbie Ray. They are a dog at home, plus $1.04 right now for the Mets, and they've got some real good vibes going right now. Carson Benj did something last night, Jensen, I had never seen before, with two outfield assists back-to-back. The Mets recorded 4 of the first 6 outs at home plate in that victory. And by the way, the outfield assist, they added a third from AJ Ewing from left field as well. That hadn't been done since the 1920s. Jensen, I mean, have you ever, obviously I've never seen anything like that. And I didn't cover those teams back in 1920, but it's amazing to see what this team has looked like here post trade deadline. Nobody could see this coming. I don't know if it can continue, but right now I don't know that I'd be wanting a going and buck that trend to go against the Metropolitans today.
Yeah, they've been a story to say the least. And you mentioned the bench, the back-to-back throws from right field, gunning down guys at home plate. I can count on one hand, I think, the amount of times I've seen it live from the single inning perspective. You may see it twice in a game, but in a single inning and with the accuracy, wow. These weren't like bang bang plays too. They were by several steps that Carson Benj had nailed guys at home plate. For what it's worth, you asked if this is viable to continue. If you go to the trade deadline of Monday, August 3rd, and I'm going to bring this up here to see where we are in total for what's happened. The team with the most wins since the trade deadline, There are three of them. It's the Rays, it's the Cubs, and it's the New York Mets. It has been wild to see that this group is almost playing with a freedom from scrutiny that they were not able to early in the season. And you know, for what it's worth, like, you go out, you spend the money, you try and bring in, you know, guys in Semien, in Polanco, you lose Pete Alonso, you try and replace it, you go out and try and stockpile the rotation, really didn't work. And those things do happen. But as I told you, part of the handicap moving forward, and especially the last 6 weeks of the season, you have young players, and this is not just the Mets, this is with all teams in Major League Baseball that are working and trying to audition for starting spots or trying to lock up roster spots for what we hope is baseball in 2027. It's always a thing that happens this time of year. You get young players with opportunities. They try and run with it. Credit where it's due. These young Mets have done that, and it shows. I mean, you are 10-3 since the trade deadline. No one could have predicted that with the moves that David Stearns had made.
And again, I know the chatter in my feeds, and it's Carson Bench for Rookie of the Year. He's 22-1 as the third betting choice behind Sal Stewart and J.J. Weatherholt. Weatherholt is odds on. And by the way, those outfield assists that we were talking about there, one of them was almost 104 miles per hour off that right arm of Bench, the fastest that we've seen this year, and it dates back to 2024 for some of the fastest and the hardest thrown balls from an outfielder. So this is a pretty darn good arm. And the book, if the Padres didn't have the book, they have it today. Jensen, I don't play these markets, as we've talked about here with the narratives, but you know how New York is. If Bench keeps this going, is that worth a pizza money play at 22-1?
Not at all. He won't be close, but he will potentially be a finalist for that awards ceremony. I do think there is a compelling argument, though, for Sal Stewart, who has a chance to lead Major League Baseball in RBI. And I know Weatherholt gets a bump, obviously, from the defense, from the base running. That is going to be an intriguing vote here and where people will come down on what matters more to them. The American League Rookie of the Year feels like it's running away. Kevin McGonigal now a 525 odds on favorite. That is crazy, laying over $5. Munetaka Murakami, he's going to need a flair for the dramatic to finish this thing off. It almost, you know, would take one of those surreal 15 home run months or something in September, I think, for Murakami to overtake McGonigal. He will get the narrative on his side if the White Sox win the division. But I think we're down to a mano a mano, if you will, on the Rookie of the Year in the American League and the National League markets.
All right, so J.J. Weatherholt, minus $1.60. Sal Stewart, plus $1.30. Murakami, as you mentioned, plus $4.75. McGonigal, minus $5.25 in those battles there. And again, I know what they're saying in New York, but maybe too far back at this juncture. 22-1 would be the third betting choice. Ironically, Nolan McLean would be the fourth choice at 30-1 there for those baby Mets. Okay, we got a lot more to get to here in this program. Of course, our best bets are coming up. And again, if you have queries for us, buy the books at VSiN.com. You can always reach out to us and hit us up there if you have questions that you'd like answered. We'll give read some of those here later on in the program. But when we come back, Brad Evans is going to join us from BetMGM and also on Westwood One. This man knows his fantasy football better than most. We'll pick his brain next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And we're going to get to our best bets here before we say goodbye in this edition of the show, Jensen. But what a pleasure it is to welcome back on our airwaves Brad Evans. Give him a follow on X at Noisy Huevos. I think when you think fantasy football, you can think of this man. And I'm certainly you can use his information for your gambling purposes as well. Brad, great to have you back, my man. You're looking great. I know you're headed out to Vegas this weekend, correct, for the big boys, if you will, when it comes to fantasy football.
Hola, amigos. Broncos. Yes, I'm going to be in Sin City. I'm probably going to fry, you know, staying there on Fremont Street. I'm going to come back looking like a tomato in the sweaty heat, to say the least. But yeah, man, I can't wait to rock and roll there at Circa. May have to cannonball splash and stadium swim after my draft, because hopefully I'm going to own it.
That's great, Brad. I'll be out there over the weekend. Might be ships passing in the night, but hopefully bring the cooler wave out there without needing the big cannonball in the big end. Hey, that's kind of the theme here, right? Looking at fantasy football drafts, a lot of people starting theirs here in earnest the next couple of weeks. It, kind of an easier selection, or at number one, is it kind of splitting hairs here with Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs? Do you have a more of a lean one way or another advising people with that number one overall pick?
Yeah, there's an easy argument for either player, quite honestly. You know, Detroit is a healthier offensive environment. Gibbs is a do-it-all, jack-of-all-trades running back. But I give the slightest of edges to Bijan Robinson. You know, why? Because I think Atlanta is going to be playing from behind early and often. James Pierce, of course, with that eight-game suspension. And they already had question marks defensively. Bijan is one of the most accomplished receiving backs in the game. I mean, you could be looking at a minimum like 750 receiving yards, 80 plus receptions. You know, he's going to pile up the production on the ground, you know, early and often, a lot of games. I think he's good for 12 to 15 total touchdowns as well. So the scoring multidimensionality, I think best with Bijan, again, slightly over Jahmyr Gibbs. So I'm going to go with the Falcon, man. He will not deep fry your fantasy franchise by any stretch of the imagination this year.
Talking to the great Brad Evans again, host of BetMGM Tonight, Westwood One Sports. Brad, let's talk about those possible late round sleepers that people are always trying to find, those diamonds in the rough that maybe other people are literally sleeping on. Anybody there that I know you might not want to give it away here, but that you're looking at that maybe people are overlooking?
Yeah, I'll give you two guys, one a wide receiver, the other a running back. Now, this guy, his stock is rising with a flaming arrow right now, Dejon Stribling of the San Francisco 49ers. I really believe, guys, he's the real deal Holyfield. Very splashy preseason week one performance with a 7 receptions, 62 yards, a beautiful catch down the right sideline for 30-plus off the hand of Rourke, the backup. There in San Francisco playing with the B team, but the body control, the versatility in his game. He can line up with the X, the Y, the Z. They're going to play him all over the place. You know, I'm already on record for saying this on BetMGM Tonight. It would not remotely shock me if he bested my cousin Mike Evans this season. You know, Evans is a little bit longer in the tube, but Stribling can literally do everything and wins the contested catch situation. So would not be shocked if he flirts with 1,000 yards this year. And 70 plus grabs. He's going to make a cannonball splash in year number one. And then running back, I like Judah Coleman of the Denver Broncos. And, you know, historically, I've always fallen in love with Broncos running backs. I see Royce Freeman, see Monty Ball, see the failures I've accumulated in my career back at those guys as a result. But Coleman is going to be direct backup to RJ Harvey and J.K. Dobbins. Very impressive in his preseason debut. He's built like a beer keg with feet at 5'8", 230 pounds, bouncing off tacklers with a like pinball precision. Versatile, you know, game and skill set overall, and running behind, I think, is the best offensive line in the NFL. He might have to slow play it. He's not, you know, going to make any splash results to begin the season, but over the second half of the season, he's one muscle pull. He's one knee tweak away from being possibly a certifiable RB2 in 12 team leagues, and you're getting him dirt cheap right now and 12-team drafts. So definitely highlight your cheat sheet, Dejon Stribling in San Francisco and Jonah Coleman of Denver. Both those rookies could be sensational at some point this year.
All right. We always look at teams and players that are so impactful, but might have had issues, whether it be injury, whether it be off the field stuff. Let me start with Puka Nacua and where you kind of come down, Brad, on we have the unknown about what's going to happen. Is there a potential suspension? How long could it be? He obviously is one of the most productive, if not the most productive receiver you could draft in the first round, heck, in all of fantasy football. Where would you advise people on Puka as we sit here today? And is it a pretty big risk if you take him? And then, you know, if he does have whatever suspension it is, now you're without his services for quite some time.
Yeah, man, if you're going to draft him, say the back half of round one in a 12-team exercise, early portion of round two, you're clacking a clack and a rolling the dice. You're spinning the roulette wheel and hope it's going to land on green. That's the risk that you're going to run right now. Drafting a Puka Nacua, given the downsides and the potential suspension, and he's dealing as well with a tender love muscle, guys. He's got a groin injury, which right now are all the rage in the NFL, apparently. A number of guys coming down with that ailment. So you got two deterrents that are operating against you. Look, he's awesome. He is arguably the number one of one wide receivers, right up there with Ja'Marr Chase in the National Football League on fire in all cylinders. Proven offense, a team that in the LA Rams, I think, will have the most wins in the NFL this season. And yes, I wagered on that at +850 a couple of months ago. So, and I think the Rams are going to, you know, win the whole shebang this season. They're the front runners for the reason. They don't have any team weaknesses. But Nacua, yeah, certainly a guy with a lot of risk. So if you're a tolerant dude or dudette in your draft and you're, you know, again, willing to roll the dice, he's worth the investment at the turn. But, you know, I'd rather take a Ja'Marr Chase, potentially in the top five if he had that pick instead of Puka Nacua. Heck, I may wait on a JSN instead, because those guys are just, you know, certifiable healthy dudes at this juncture. And we just don't have that guarantee with Puka Nacua with the groin and, of course, with that suspension looming. So tread very carefully.
Tender love muscle. I wrote that one down, Brad. That is fantastic. I like to say that you can make good money on bad teams out there, Brad. Is there anybody in the fantasy context that might work for you? You say, hey, this team might not be able to win a game or a whole lot of games, but I can get some value from X player.
Well, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be straight up trash. Let's be real here, guys. I think it's entirely realistic they start the season like 0-10. They're going to be underdogs in so many games this season. The Desert Birds are definitely going to be caged early and often. But that offense, I give them credit. You know, they may be a top half unit overall. I like the skill set of Jacoby Brissett, what he was able to build last season with Michael Wilson, with Marvin Harrison. Everybody's talking about Jeremiah Love. I went off last night on Mike LaFleur and the idiocy of running Jeremiah Love into the ground with 14 total touches. And of course, coming down with a high ankle sprain in the first preseason game. What are you doing, bro? But I will say this. I do like Love. He's probably going to slip now to like round four, round five, because people are going to be overly skittish given the ankle setback and kind of the unknown of the severity of that injury. But Marvin Harrison, to me, as a guy you're getting dirt cheap, he is right now going around wide receiver 32, wide receiver 34, and average fantasy drafts. And I think he could finish as a top 24. In other words, a WR2 in 12-team leagues. Nice little red zone chemistry that he has built with Jacoby Brissett. I know he had the case of dropsies early on the camp. And, of course, that made the rounds on social media. People are like, oh, Harrison's going to be a massive bust yet again. But we know the skill set is there. If he concentrates, if he plays motivated football, and with Arizona, this just in, down 21-0, I think, in every damn game this year, he's going to come out smell like a rose in garbage time. So Marvin Harrison Jr., I prefer a little bit more than Michael Wilson in this offense, and a guy I think is going to turn a tidy profit in fantasy leagues this year.
All right, Brad, last 30 seconds. Who are you leaving your fantasy drafts with no matter what?
Matthew Golden of the Green Bay Packers. It pains me to say that as a Chicago Bears fan, but I think he is going to be incredible this year, guys. As long as Jordan Love doesn't overthrow him roughly 10,000 times like he did last season. The guy's got sub 4.30 40-yard wheels and 11 personnel. He's got to line up in those two wide receiver sets predominantly with Jaden Reed Moore of the third wide receiver, in those kind of offensive schemes, even in 12 personnel packages, he's going to be on the field as well. So I think Golden is going to lead the team in targets. Breakout year, mark it down, 1,000-plus yards. And guess what, guys? You get better than that at 4-1 right now.
Vegas, get ready, because Brad's ready. He's coming out there. Check him out on X at Noisy Huevos. Brad, you're the best. Great to be reunited. Our best bets are straight ahead right here. VSiN by the books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN, by the books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Great conversation with Brad Evans, getting you ready for your fantasy drafts out there, as only Brad can do. So again, please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the books pod. Take a listen on your time. Great conversations earlier in the show with Greg Peterson and, of course, the one and only Matt Eumanns back in hour number one. But Jensen, that part of the program where we like to see what people have inquired, and you can do that inquiry at buythebooks@vsin.com. All we ask is tell us where you're writing to us from and how you're ingesting the show. Certainly you're watching, listening, where you are watching or listening from. What do we have today that caught our eye?
We have an inquiry from Michael Clayton across the pond in England. If the boys want to throw that up, I'll read it here. Hello, Dave and Jensen, the closer. That is the first time I've been addressed that way, which is kind of nice. Hey, a question for Jensen. Do you think we will see Major League Baseball in 2027? Have the MLBPA completely rejected the notion of a salary cap, or are they open to talks? Another strike would do a great deal of damage. Millionaires and billionaires arguing over money is not a good look for the public. I feel that no player has anything to complain about since free agency was introduced. P.S. I am pleased to say that it is cool and cloudy over here today. Michael, let's go ahead and dispel some propaganda that is out there right now. Remember, the lockout would be initiated by the owners. So the owners locking out the players is certainly a decision. And you know, if you want to read the tea leaves, it is a negotiating ploy or leverage. So I would say that if you want to come to the table and you want to negotiate fairly, then why lock out the players? We know why they're going to do it, because they want a salary cap. It's a non-starter for the players. It won't happen on their watch, or at least they're going to do everything they can to not ever have that instituted. And to be fair, let's take the San Diego Padres just being sold for a whopping $3.9 billion. Dave, it feels like business is good. And so the theory of, oh, we need a salary cap so every team can compete, it's not going to fly. The other part of it, too, and I'll just throw it out there. The latest proposal, I believe, from the owners to the Players Association was to have a salary floor, I believe, of right around $170 million, and then a cap north in the 300s to try and create that floor and that cap. Dave, if I were to tell you today that there are teams that spend at least $171 million or more, there's 18 of the 30 teams. So you're saying you'd be willing to spend already at least $171, yet Milwaukee, Cincinnati, the Athletics, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Colorado, Washington, the Chicago White Sox, Tampa Bay, St. Louis, Cleveland, and Miami, all under $171 million. It's not going to fly. It's not going to fly. You got billionaires who make money. And Mike, I'm going to tell you this right now. Billionaires can own the team as long as they want. We got a finite amount of time to be able, as athletes, make the money and maximize those career earnings. You're never going to win an argument with crying billionaires. They make money. Don't let any of them lie to you. They make hand over fist. All 30 of them do. And one final point, Dave, and this will come up a lot throughout the offseason once that lockout does happen on December 1st. If teams were forced to show and be 100% transparent, the total revenue that's reinvested of that big pot of revenue that they get, you would be shocked at how many teams are under 50% of total revenue reinvested into on-field product, meaning players that take the field for you every single day. Just put a pin in that one, because there's a lot that is going to be propaganda that's coming across from the ownership side, trying to pin fans against the players, trying to make the players look like the quote unquote bad guys.
Michael Clayton, great question across the big pond. Let me just further up that point. Going back to 2011, I do believe, when the players lock, whatever you want to call it, with the NFL, right? And they didn't have the camp that year, if you remember that. And I remember those conversations very well with Damaris Smith, who was the player rep there at that point for the NFLPA, and talking to D. Smith. And basically my question was, Jensen, in so many words, is this iteration of NFL player willing to make the sacrifice, as you mentioned, that short window that they, these elite athletes have to make the money for the betterment of the game long term? And that I always think is kind of the axe to grind sometimes, where it's hard for players today. It's easy to say in the big picture, yes, it's absolutely the right thing, the players should dig in. But they know that their window is so small. That's why some guys are not so apt to say, we'll burn a season for the betterment of the game. How real are those conversations in clubhouses there? Because I know what they're like in the NFL. I'm wondering what they're like in Major League Baseball.
Yes, this is always part of, you know, those yearly visits in spring training of those that have done and sacrificed all they have before. And it has gotten you to the point today where, Dave, we have the highest, you know, minimum salary we have in the entirety of the sports history. There are things from minor leaguers, and this is by virtue of the Players Association and the union being able to protect and really fight for wages. I can remember my first minor league paycheck, Dave, through 2 weeks, I think I cleared like $300. Well, minor leaguers now make hand over fist comparatively. They don't have anything to complain about, and it's because of those executive committees and those reps that fought tooth and nail the last decade to try and get these instituted, getting to arbitration hopefully a year earlier, allowing the maximum amount of earnings. Like, owners want to, they want to cap the contract length that you can make. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Like, the guys that are worth what they're worth, they deserve to be paid what they're paid. Should we cap the amount of time that owners are allowed to own a team? Like, put it right back in their lap. Like, I think there's some remedial arguments here that fans need to realize and kind of put in perspective of, like, oh yeah, that's a lot of propaganda, you know, coming from the ownership side. I might be slightly biased as a former Players Association member, but I digress. The whole thing about the salary cap, Dave, remember, if you look at the NFL model, think about how many different Super Bowl champions we've had in the last 20 years. You'd be surprised to think that Major League Baseball has had the most as far as parity. And I know just because we've had the Dodgers win the last couple of years, that everyone's up in arms about it. I seem to remember in the 90s when we had the Yankees, you know, win three in a row. Never heard anything about it. You know, there's a lot to look back at the last couple of decades, not only in the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, they all have salary caps. Look at how many different champions you've had. The NBA will have a close argument. Major League Baseball has had a lot more parity than what people realize as far as those that can win and get to the World Series. There's one other email for you, Dave. And Michael Swaffer, great friend of the show from up in Milwaukee. He says, hey, Dave, we should go golfing sometime. Absolutely, you should. Oh. He trained Lost Tracks in Bend, Oregon many years ago. Brian Whitcomb allowed me to sleep in the attack while I was training to get my card at the queue. So I want to throw that out there. He's asking about the BMW this week. Says he really likes Cam Young and Alex Fitzpatrick to land in the top 10. Says he's nervous, though. Please elaborate on your thoughts if we get a chance. So again, Michael Swafford, thank you for that. So Cam Young, Alex Fitzpatrick to land in the top 10 at the BMW this week. Your thoughts?
Down to the top 50. Great question, Michael. If we do play golf, if you were going to Q school, potentially you're giving me a lot of strokes. I can say that up close and personal here. You're looking at Cam Young. He's plus $1.26 here, Jensen, to get a top 10 out there. Again, as we've shortened this field down to 50, Alex Fitzpatrick, you have to go down the board a little bit to get that top 10. He's had a great year. He's plus $4.45 this week for Fitz, the other Fitz, to get that top 10. I don't know, Michael, if I'd be investing in Alex Fitzpatrick this week. I know it's going to be incentive-based because he wants to get to the final 30 when they go down to Eastlake there to wrap up the FedEx Cup playoffs. I don't want to tip my hand just yet, Jensen, but we talked a little bit about it yesterday in the program as well. I'll give my two to watch tomorrow in the program, but I am looking to the House of the Rising Sun this week. with Hideki Matsuyama. You can get him about plus $1.68, Michael. That's a guy that I feel is really playing well. Cam Young's kind of been on this yo-yo, like up, down, up, down, up, down. Not exactly sure what's going on, if he's still a little bit injured, because I don't want to make an excuse for him, but I might be looking elsewhere in the card this week, Michael, and we'll break those down. And I know, Jensen, you will also have your fantasy lineups as well this week. Very quickly here in the final seconds, anything in the Major League Baseball docket that you already have out there for VSiN Pro subscribers?
Yeah, we're going to do an under eight in that Mariners and Brewers game for a unit and a half, minus $1.13. Again, we'll get off the schneid. Last couple of days have been tough sledding, but still positive for the year. And thank you for the trolls that hate watch every single day. You continue to fade. You continue to lose. Buyer beware. We're back in the black after tonight.
I love it. I didn't see those out there, but they are out there. That's for sure. If you want more VSiN, and of course we know you do, you've been watching the FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube TV, VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. Gil Alexander is up next with a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.